Well, Chapel of Cross, and everyone who is watching from home, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think for a moment of a secret that you've got. Now, I'm not talking about just any kind of secret. This isn't the kind of secret that you've got that you remember when you were 7 years old and you snuffed down at midnight after your parents had gone to bed and you ate your fill of cookies. That's not the kind of secret I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of secret that you've maybe never shared with anyone. Maybe not even your spouse, parents, the people that are closest to you. It's the kind of secret that when you start to think about it, it makes your blood pressure go up a little bit, your heart begins to beat a little faster. It's the kind of thing that you're ashamed of, or that you're afraid of. Maybe the moment that it would get out. Maybe it was something that was done to you. Maybe it was something that was said to you. Maybe it was something that you did or that you said. Maybe it was something that you just wish you had said or that you had wished you had done. One thing we all have in common here this morning is that we probably all got at least one of those. There's a guy by the name of Frank Warren. In 2004, he started a community art project, and it was interesting in the sense what he was doing was he was collecting these secrets that we all have. He called it postsecret.com. The website's been running since 2004. It still runs today. And what he did back in 2004, and what he still does today, he invited people to send in postcards with their secrets written down. Rules were it had to be anonymous, had to be something that you've never shared with anyone else before, and it had to be true. So for all these years, he's been collecting these secrets and posting them online for everyone to see. They run the gamut of emotions from humor to heartache. Here are a couple examples. In high school, I was so desperate for a boyfriend, I dated a guy who went to Star Wars conventions, and he dumped me. Even vegetarians think of meat from time to time. I know I do. I suffer from an eating disorder, and I fear my mother's suffering. My insomnia is going to get me fired. I can't stand my stepmother. I had an affair. We stopped before we got caught. I miss her today. I was 7 years old the first time I attempted suicide. And when things go well for me, I have to wreck my life all over again. This is just a smattering of the secrets that people have shared anonymously. We've all got these secrets. And the other thing that we probably all share is this fear of those secrets getting out. We fear that because we feel, either rightly or wrongly, that if those truths were known, that it would cause us to be outcast, to be cast out from our circle of friends or from our family or from our coworkers and those that we know and love best. And this is precisely what's going on in the case of the woman that Jesus meets at the well. She too has a secret that she thinks Jesus doesn't know about. But she isn't alone. You look at the entirety of the people that Jesus met, especially the people Jesus met as John records them for us in his gospel. They've all got secrets that they think Jesus doesn't know about. You look at the case in John 6 with Philip. It's the account where Jesus, he feeds the 5,000. So he's been teaching all day long. They're out in the wilderness. And at the end of that day, the crowds are hungry and they're tired. And Jesus turns to Philip and asks, "Where are we going to find food for all these people?" Philip says, "Not even 6 months' wages could buy even a morsel of bread for them to eat. His post secret might read, "I'm totally overwhelmed by the demands of people in my life." In John chapter 8, there's the woman caught in the act of adultery who's drugged before Jesus. We know what her secret would be. But what about the secret of the scribes and the Pharisees who drug her into the center of town to begin with? Theirs might be, "We love the sound the stones make when they hit the sinner." Or there's Peter. Peter who denied even knowing Jesus 3 times. Peter who had walked with Jesus for 3 years, who'd seen all of these incredible miracles. Denied knowing him 3 times. His post-secret might read, "Fear fights with faith in my heart every day. And every day, fear wins." Or there's Pilate, after he washes his hands of Jesus. His might read, "I'm Rome's puppet. I'm the real prisoner, not Jesus." And then there's this woman at the well. Like all of those, like all of us, she's got a secret as well. And it's a secret that she fears getting out. It's a secret that's led her to be outcast herself. It's probably one of the reasons why she's going to this well at noon in the heat of the day alone. And it's not by accident, I think, that she isn't the one who strikes up that conversation with Jesus. I think if she'd had it her way, when she saw Jesus sitting there by the well, if he hadn't spoken to her, she would have been more than happy to go up to the well to draw out her water and to take it back to her home without saying a single word to him. Like many of us, when we stand in line at checkout in the grocery store or in the bank, and we just want to get in and get out and get on our way. But Jesus looks at this woman and he knows her, and so he asks her. He strikes up the conversation. He asks her for a drink. And shortly after that, he begins to hone in on her secret. After that conversation about living water, he says, "Go and fetch your husband. Bring him here." I'm sure at this moment, her heart has begun to race. Because now he's zeroing in on this thing in her life that she doesn't want to get out. I'm sure even for the people in town who likely knew her and knew of her past failed marriages, there is still quite a bit about those broken relationships that they don't know about, that she's kept to herself. See, these secrets that we bury deep in our hearts, they're kind of like jack-in-the-boxes, and I hated those things as kids. But they're kind of like jack-in-the-boxes. As long as no one's spinning the crank and the creepy music isn't playing, we live our lives as if those things never happened, either to us or as if we never did those things or said those things. Most of the time, we don't think about these things at all. But it's when conversations turn in a direction that points to that secret, when the light begins to be shined a little too close on that thing that we don't want any light to shine on, it's in those moments our hearts begin to race. And I'm sure it was the case with this woman too, because she's probably learned from hard experience in life, you can't have full disclosure and full acceptance. In many cases, we've learned that lesson as well. It's the thing that causes us to bury those secrets, to carry the weight of them ourselves without saying a word to the people that we love best. But Jesus isn't an ordinary, average guy. He is the God of grace and God of glory. And to him, there is no place so dark, so secreted away in your soul, that you can hide a secret that he cannot see as if it was illuminated by the light of a clear morning. And so when Jesus asks this woman to go fetch her husband, you notice she deflects. But he doesn't allow that deflection to stand. She answers simply, "I have no husband," probably hoping that the conversation is going to end right there. But Jesus drags her secret out into the light of day. He replies, "It's true you have no husband. In fact, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. What you've said is true." It's hard to imagine the shock and the things that must have been running through her mind in that moment, because the thing that she had feared was happening right in front of her eyes. But it's what Jesus continues to do that I think changes things for her. He doesn't shun her, doesn't turn away from her, continues to talk to her. I think if we were there, if we could have seen this happen ourselves, he wouldn't look at her any differently. And then he does something really incredible. Not only does he drag this woman's secret out for all the world to see, he shares with her his secret. A secret that Jesus hadn't shared with anyone yet in John's gospel. Jesus' post-secret might read like this: "I may look like an ordinary man, but I'm the Messiah, your long-promised Savior." In John's gospel, she is the first person that Jesus shares this secret with. And in that moment, the midst of that exchange that they've had, the burden of that secret is lifted from her. Because immediately after our gospel account for today, where it ends, what happens is she goes back into town. She goes up to these people who she'd spent her time avoiding. And she goes to them and she says, "Come, meet a guy who's told me everything I've ever done." Jesus winds up spending time with these people in this town. And then at the very end of it all, they turn to this woman who was outcast and they say to her, "We no longer believe just because of what you've said. We've seen and heard for ourselves, and we know Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world." So think again for a moment. If you were filling out an anonymous postcard, what would you write on it? Know that whatever it is, Jesus, the God of grace and the God of glory, he knows what it is. And he loves you. And not just he still loves you, he has always loved you. He had that secret on his mind when he hung from the cross. He had the secret on his lips when he said, "Father, forgive them." And as surely as day follows night, he left that secret buried in the tomb so that you could live without that burden. It might be true in some ways that in this world there can't be full disclosure and full acceptance, but with Christ, there can be. In his name, amen.